Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Well, I'm excited about today's show. One of my favorite people actually made it into the station, and we're going to continue our discussion about local political races. And today we are joined by Janice Williams, who is the Daviess County Clerk. How are you today, Janice?
I'm good. How are you, Grant?
Very good. And I really appreciate your time and willingness to come in and talk about things that are really important to our local folks as they go in and vote and make decisions. So let's get right into it and tell us a little bit about your background and how you became the Daviess County Clerk.
I actually started working in the clerk's office in 1989. I started working under Betty Morgan, and then I also worked under Doris Munning and Rosemary Abel. I worked there for 14 years, and then I became a court reporter for Judge Sebecki. And Rosemary Abel was running for clerk and withdrew from the ballot, and I was nominated in a caucus to run on the ballot in 2014 in November.
Very good. So you've been in that office for quite some time, and you kind of know the ropes by this point, right?
Yes.
Well, you better know the ropes because we've got some important stuff.
That's right.
So tell us, what is the clerk? What does that mean?
We are responsible for keeping the records of the court. We file civil, criminal cases, traffic tickets, estates and guardianships, juvenile cases. We also issue marriage licenses and process child support payments and judgment payments from small claims. Our office also issues warrants and oversees and conducts the elections and campaign finance reporting requirements.
Sure. So this is probably not a question that you think of a lot, but what is your favorite part about your job, your role?
I just like being in the office and getting to meet people and serving the public, and I've enjoyed that. I've done it for so many years now.
Sure.
I love it.
You're a public servant. You've done it a long time. You said 1989?
Yes. 1989. I was 19 years old when I started.
Wow. I'm not going to tell you how old I was. Okay. So the thing that we want to talk mostly about today is your role in local elections. Okay.
Okay.
Tell us, if someone was wanting to vote, I mean, I know there's some early voting, and I know there's voting on Election Day. Tell us a little bit about the timing and the process with that.
The early voting, we are doing that currently, and that will be going on today until 3 p.m., and then we will also do early voting Monday until noon, November 5th until noon.
Okay.
And then the next day is Election Day, so people can vote on Election Day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Awesome. So they can vote the Saturday before the election, so that's right now, and then
yes.
They can vote on the Monday before the election.
Yes, and until
then,
noon.
Okay, and then this Tuesday, the 7th, is that it?
The
6th. Okay, Tuesday the 6th is Election Day, and obviously
yes.
They can vote all day at their polling place, though, right?
Correct.
Okay, so early voting, that would be at the courthouse.
Yes, it's in the clerk's office on the very top floor of the courthouse.
Okay, and have you seen a lot more people get into this early voting?
Yes, a lot of people have been in. It's been very busy.
And what do you attribute that to? Why do we have so many people who want to vote early?
I don't know if they're busy on Election Day, or some people are working on Election Day and can't always get to the polling place between the 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Time. So I think a lot of people come in for that. Some people are out of town and can't make it, on Election Day for some
right.
reason.
It's a real convenience,
yes.
I think, to have the early voting. When does early voting start? Can you tell us that?
It started on October the 10th.
Okay, is it about 30 days out?
I think it's, 30 or 29, I can't remember. Sure.
So now, if you're not registered to vote and you want to vote on Election Day, on Tuesday, is that possible?
No.
Okay.
If you're not registered, you wouldn't be able to vote. We can still take a registration. Like, if you came in to register, we could do that, but we can't process those registrations until after Election Day is over.
Sure. Now, let's get into maybe some of the locations.
Okay.
Because Obviously, we don't have a ton of time to do the early voting. We've got all early voting takes place in the courthouse. Is that right?
Yes.
So if that's something folks want to do in the future, or if they want to do, you know, right up through Monday, I mean, they can still, they can't vote on Sunday, right?
That's right.
They should be resting. So, okay. If they want to go to their particular polling location, you know, we have a lot of people that'll call in or say, well, where do I go vote, or how do I do it?
Right.
Talk about that.
Do you want me to go over the polling locations?
Yeah, sure.
With you?
Sure.
Okay. Bar one votes at the Ruritan Community Building. That was a location that we changed maybe a couple of elections ago. They would vote at the Ruritan Community Building. Bar two is at Candleburg Fire Station. Bogard is at the Simon Graber Community Building. Elmore 1 and 2 is at the Elnor Fire Station. Harrison is at Glendale Fish and Wildlife Building. Madison 1, 2, and 3 are now at the Odin Community Center. Reeve is at Alfordsville Fire Station. Steele is at the Town Hall and the Fire Station in Plainville. Van Buren is at the Simon Graber Community Building. Veal is at the Camp Ileana Valley View Facility. Washington 1 is at the Park Community Building. Washington 2 is at the Courthouse Basement that used to be at the Masonic Lodge. Washington 3 is at the Conservation Club. Washington 4 is at the Conservation Club as well. Washington 5 and 6 is at the National Guard Armory here in Washington. Washington 7 is in the Courthouse Basement. Washington 8 and 9 is at the Carnegie Public Library. Washington 10 is at the West End Fire Station. Washington 11 and 12 are at the Washington Towers. Washington 13 is at Washington Church of Christ. Washington 14 and 15 are at the Park Community Building.
Gotcha. Any others?
No.
What is there, 23, 24?
We have 28 precincts and 17 locations.
Okay. So there's some duplication, there's some crossover, but 17 locations and 28 precincts.
Correct.
Okay. So say somebody isn't really sure if they're in, I don't know, Washington 5 or Washington 15, or they're not sure if they're in Bar 1 or Bar 2 or Van Buren, or right? So how would they, if they're not sure, what should they do?
They can call our office and check and make sure that they're registered, and we can tell them what precinct they vote in. Our office number is 812-254-8679.
Mm-hmm. So if, you know, maybe it saves them a trip. If they're not sure if they're registered, they just call and they say, hey, I just want to make sure where I was supposed to vote. And they, they tell them who they are and confirm registration, and then they can go vote, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever they go vote, they actually have to have their ID with them. They have to have a photo ID issued by the state of Indiana or the U.S. government. So, and it needs to have an expiration date on it. Some of the people who work at Crane have like a card that doesn't have, it has an ex, I forget how it says it, but it's like, it doesn't have an expiration date on there. It's just indefinite.
Okay.
And those are okay as well.
Okay. So why do you have to have identification when you go and vote?
And so that we can compare our poll books to the license and make sure that, you know, that person is who they say they are.
Okay. And so it prevents maybe fraud, or if people want to vote multiple places,
right?
Or,
and we keep track of that in our poll books. We have people sign in, so when you come to vote, we check, like the inspector would check you in, and then the clerks will look at the ID and make sure that everything is, you know, conforms, and then they would let you go on to the voting panel if you're sure, if you comply with everything.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting on an airplane. You like have to go through the metal detector and take off your shoes, right?
Yeah, no, we don't make you do that.
Okay, good. So just curious, I mean, do you prefer to vote on election day, or do you like to do the early voting?
Honestly, I was a poll worker for years.
Yeah.
So I think I started working in, like I said, in the clerk's office in 1989, and I probably became a poll worker in 1990. So I have worked for several years as a poll worker, so I think I've only voted one time at my polling location because I've always worked outside of my precinct. So anyone who's a poll worker has, like if they're working outside of their precinct, has to vote early as well.
I see. So you like the early voting. I mean, it's something you're kind of used to.
Yes.
Yeah. I do too, just because you just do it when there's a piece of time that you can make it happen, and
right.
then you don't necessarily have to worry about making sure you have enough time on election day
right.
to do it. So, and you think there's been a lot more people who have gone to early voting?
I think so. A lot of people, we've actually had a few people I've noticed when they come in, they say this is the first time they've early voted, and they don't really say why. They just, I think a lot of people have started doing that.
Sure. Seems like it's more convenient. Okay. Let's talk about different locations in the county, and it'd be nice to kind of for our listeners to hear who is on the ballot in the different areas. Let's say it's a voter from the northern part of the county, North Davies Schools.
Okay.
Maybe give us an idea. I mean, what are some of the elections that they're going to see?
As far as the North Davies School Board.
And there is a race for the North Davies School Board, is that right?
Yes, there is.
And those are going to be I think there's, how many people are on the North Davies School Board? Do you know?
There's two different, there's an at-large one this time and then a district one okay. running this particular election. And the North Davies Community School Board at-large race, Brad Roark is running in that position. North Davies Community School Board District 1 is Roger Callahan.
And are these competitive races, or are these people who are running unopposed, or
those two are actually running unopposed?
Okay. Do you know if there's any of the school board races up there that are opposed, or any other races like township even that might be?
There's an Odin Town Council race that would be in Madison. I believe it's
Madison 1 or 2,
three.
Yeah, or is it Madison 3?
It's actually Carol Kreider is running, and Doug Benjamin.
So I know Doug, I think he worked for the town, and I know all those names that you've mentioned. It sounds like it's kind of nice when we've got sufficient folks to fill out the ballot and people have some options on election day.
Right. And some of the townships, there is also people running on those boards, like the township board members. Something that's important, too, is if someone goes into the polling place and they want to vote a straight ticket, they can do that. But when they vote a straight ticket, the township board members and the school board races do not go into that straight party
okay.
vote. So they need to, if they want to vote for someone in those races, they need to go down and actually vote in those particular categories.
Okay.
So
you're saying, for example, say I go in and I want to vote straight, Green Party. I want to vote straight Green Party. And if that were even an option, I don't even know what it is. But that would only carry through for certain races. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's instructions on the ballot to tell you that, you know, those don't carry through. So
sure.
just a good idea for people to know that, because sometimes when you go in there, you know, you're looking through all the pages, and there is several pages on the ballots. We have like 7, I believe, in Washington and 6 in the other precincts. So.
Wow.
So, and you have to scroll through each page to get to the end.
To get to the end. It doesn't mean that you have to vote in every race, though, right?
Correct.
Okay, because some people, you know, if they look at a race and they're like, I have no idea who's,
right.
what's involved in that particular position.
As long as they make one selection, they can confirm their vote if they look through each page.
Okay.
You have to go all the way through.
Very good. Now, let's say someone's over in the Barrieve School District. And I know there's a school board race over there. Can you tell us some of the folks that might be on the ballot for someone over in that area?
Yes, in the Barrieve Community School Board, we have an at-large race. It is Rita Allen, Ronald Boyd, and Jody Schulteis.
Okay, yeah, I've seen a lot of signs different places
yes.
out there. So I know that's a contested race, and it's 3 people are running for 1 spot. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And what are some of the other races that might be of some interest in that area?
There's also a Barrieve Community School Board District 2, and it's Lana Helms, and she's unopposed.
I know, so Lana. She made my teeth straight at one point. Okay, so we've got a number of different areas. If someone is from Washington, and I think there's some Washington School Board races, and I think there's some township races as well. What can you tell me about just you don't have to say anything in particular relative to which township, but say your typical ballot in the Washington schools area.
Do you want the school board races? Or you
sure.
The Washington Community School Board District 1 is Pamela Bartlett and Timothy Hedrick. And they are running in that District 1 race.
Okay.
Then we have Washington School Board District 2, and that's Steve Bushy, and he is unopposed.
Okay.
Washington Community School Board District 3 is Stephen Freddy, and he is unopposed. And then Washington School Board District 4 is Jay Arms and Rhett Williams, and that's for District 4 race.
Very good. So we've got several races in all three school districts. Are there township races in maybe Washington Township or in the Washington Schools Townships, which would be what, Harrison and Veal as well? Or any particular races that come to mind that we should point out for those voters? And I know in Washington, there's a Washington Township Trustee
correct.
Race, because I've seen a bunch of signs about that.
Yes, there's a Washington Township Trustee race, which is Michelle Guy and Ron Critchlow.
Okay. I think there's a advisory board, maybe. There might be an advisory board race in that one, too. Is that right?
In Harrison Township, there is Kimberly Arms and Brady Turner.
Ah, yes, I remember that that's a contested race. That's correct.
Some of the township trustee, or not the township trustee, but the township board members, a lot of them are not contested. I was trying to look through my list here.
A lot of them, you know, and it's obviously important to that person who's on that on that race, but a lot of times somebody will vote, you know, in a presidential election year, they'll vote for the president, and then they'll skip to the end and cast their vote. So they don't know as many things that are what we would call down ticket, correct?
Right. Do you want me to go over the races just quickly so that you have?
Yeah, if in Washington, if you've got a couple that you want to pick out, we're gonna be getting close to having to get wrapped up here. So if you've got a couple that you want to point out, that'd be great.
We have a County Commissioner District 2 race, which is Nathan Gabhart and Larry Miller. And then we have some County Council races that we have County Council District 1, which is Dave Smitty Smith, and then Dana Fulton. They're running for District 1. County Council District 2 is Tony Dungeon and Michael Morris. And then County Council District 3 is Michael Myers. He's running unopposed. County Council District 4 is Patrick Dant and Vincent Sellers.
So these are all district-based races, at least on the county council side. So
correct.
If you go and on your ballot you've got a council race, it's because you live in that area. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. But for commissioners, if I'm correct, it's countywide.
Yes.
It's just that the candidate has to live in a certain area.
Correct.
Okay. So we've got a number of council races, and we've got a commissioner's race on the ballot for folks this year.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the state races
those are gonna cover multiple counties typically.
Yes.
Maybe tell us a couple of those. Those are more what we would call top of the ticket, correct?
Correct. We have our U.S. Senator from Indiana, which is Mike Braun, Joe Donnelly, and Lucy Brenton.
And we've interviewed two of those three on
have
this
you?
Show. So within the last year, so it's maybe we can get the third one on later today, just so we can get them in time and under the wire here.
Yeah. The Secretary of State race is Connie Lawson, Jim Harper, Mark Rutherford. The Auditor of State is Tara Klutz, Jocelyn Whitaker, John Sheik, I think is how you pronounce that. Treasurer of State is Kelly Mitchell and John Aguilera. We have a U.S. Representative District 8 race, which is Larry Bichon and William Tenuse. Then we have State Senator District 39, Eric Basler, and he's running unopposed. We have a State Representative District 45, which is Bruce Borders and Jim Exline. State Representative District 62, Jeff Ellington and Amy Swain. State Representative District 63 is Shane Lindauer and Joseph Joe Lannon. And some of those will be on the ballots, but in different
areas. That's right, because there's the state rep seats, and the county is divided up into at least three areas. Incumbents are Borders and Ellington and then Lindauer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's one township that's in the Borders race, and the top two townships are in the Ellington seat, and then the remainder is in the 63, which is Lindauer.
Yes, most of ours are 63.
Tell me a little bit about this ballot question. So I know that there's a lot of people have been asking about this and wondering about this. It relates to a balanced budget amendment, but I was wondering if you could read that for us so that the listeners can hear it ahead of getting into the voting booth.
Yes, it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with that question because it will be the first thing you see when you look at your ballot. It says, shall Article 10, Section 5 of the Constitution of the State of Indiana be amended to require the General Assembly to adopt balanced budgets for state government that do not exceed estimated revenues unless a supermajority of two-thirds of the members of the House of Representatives and two-thirds of the members of the Senate vote to suspend the requirement?
Right. So it's what you've heard former governors Pence and perhaps others talk about, and they've referred to as a balanced budget amendment. And to override an annual balanced budget, I believe you'd have to have a two-thirds of the respective houses to do that. Any comments or feedback? I'm not asking you to tell people how to vote on that.
Right.
I'm just curious if what you've heard about that or if it's going to be that people have to do their own research.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of different things about it. As far as knowing what the correct answer would be, I've heard it both ways, so I don't really know. You know, as far as how to explain it to someone so that they could determine.
And it's written kind of awkwardly, kind of hard to understand.
Right. I have seen where they've talked about if they balance the budget. Like, of course, we would want a balanced budget, but then they would have to take maybe from pensions or something in order to keep that balanced. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard both for it and against it, so.
Yeah, because you can think about it it's balanced in a running way or in an annual way.
Right.
And obviously in a short time period, you may have something that goes out of balance, but over the longer period of time, it's likely going to be in balance. So the question is whether this is necessary. I guess people will have to do their own research on that. But I know it's been talked about in the last couple of years. Recent governor, as I mentioned, Pence, I was at the State of the State when he talked about this and said, we need a balanced budget amendment. I said, okay, well, I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming that's what this is. So we're going to have to get wrapped up here. We're getting close to the end of time. But I wanted you to mention, you know, we've got a couple seconds left. Why is it important for local people to follow these elections, and why is it important for them to vote? Does it matter? What is your opinion?
It definitely matters. I think it's a good idea for people to vote. It's a right that we have, and it's good to exercise that right to vote, and it gets your voice heard whenever, you know, someone is running. You can, I guess, let them know if you're doing a good job if you vote for them and who you want to be representing you.
Absolutely. I say if you don't vote, you can't complain.
That's what people tell me.
So, you know, the government's made up of the people that we choose.
Correct.
And so it's important that we do our research and know what we're doing and pick people wisely,
I think.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
A phenomenal job. I'm sorry if I asked you stuff that you weren't sure about. I know you got a bunch of information there and we couldn't get through all of it. But I hope the listeners got a taste of what's going to be on the ballot and how they vote and what's going to happen on Election Day.
Right. And like I said, if anyone has any questions about anything, they can call our office and we can help them with that. Our number again is 812-254-8679.
Great. And I'm not going to make you read through all those polling locations again. Don't worry. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
A great day.
All right. You too.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4 Star Country, General 95.9 and 101.3 FM, 1580 a.m. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.